Oh, and just was sitting there soaking up the voices that we grew to love and appreciate so much for the 17 years or so that we were here. Just loved hearing those voices. And when Mark led that in the garden, I love that song. And it just lets my mind go into a meditative thing. But also there's a little boy in me that cracks a joke at it because of the joke of the guy died and going to heaven, or before he could be let into heaven, he had to answer what the name of the Son of God was. And the guy says, Andy. Andy? Where'd you get Andy? Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Yeah. So my mind kind of spazzes sometimes when it needs to be stay in that contemplative mood. But also that song brought to my attention Sister Vining. She didn't like that song. She thought it was unscriptural and thought it was arrogant for us to say that no one else has ever known. So she would fuss at me when I'd lead that song. Says, that's unscriptural. But I would allow for that to have some poetic license in there and would still enjoy the song. So anyway, I have somewhere buried in a junk drawer, I don't know where it is or I'd have brought it, a little leukemia pin that says hope on it. I found in the cancer community when we were down at MD Anderson and spent some time there for treatments and isolation and all of this stuff, I found the cancer community to be very generally upbeat and just an encouraging group of people. And here I was, and it wasn't as bad as others. It was bad enough, but it wasn't as bad as others. And yet there was still this sense of hope and a sense of peace in some. And of course, when you hear cancer or any of these kinds of things, it kind of creates a sense of dread within you. But for those who have a confidence and trust in the Lord, I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life He gives. That gives us a sense of assurance and a sense of peace that is not found when we just are relying on self. I love a quote from John Ortberg's book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. That's a good book, by the way. A series of chapters that zero in on Jesus walking on water and Peter's, Lord, if it's really you, let me come. Come on. But he writes, we can survive the loss of an extraordinary number of things, but no one can outlive hope. When it's gone, we're done. Therefore, the capacity to stay focused on the presence and power of God in our lives becomes supremely important. I had a fellow that's been a long time resident in Farmington and been a part of the church for years and years. His wife died, I don't remember how long ago, but he has been a lost puppy ever since. And he had lost his will to live. There was no hope for him in this life anymore. See, he was ready to go. And he passed away a week or two ago, and I was just thinking how sad his life was the last little bit when he just was hopeless. Hope is the fuel that keeps our hearts going. The word hope is found scattered all over the Bible, and we read this morning of the fact that the Holy Spirit provides hope within us, and I'm so thankful for that. But a book that I found a lot of comfort in and a greater appreciation for during the times of treatment and recovery was the book of Psalms. There is a sense of honesty in David and the other psalm writers that they just let it all hang out before God. And even say some things that you and I would go, oh, dash them to pieces, God. Throw them on the rocks. And so there's that sense of wide open honesty that is in there. But I love that even in all of the struggles that are described, there is this element of hope. In every psalm, there is this sense of trust and hope and confidence that God is going to take care of things. So the passage that I'm going to share with you this morning are going to come from several of the psalms that deal with hope. We have the promise in Psalm 19, verse 18, that God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. And when you look throughout Scripture, one of the things that God is very interested in is the needy. In fact, when the church was first beginning and there was a big question that was arising as to how Christian or how Jewish a Gentile had to be in order to become a Christian, the answer was in Acts 15, well, you don't have to become a Jew. There's two or three things that was suggested to the Gentile Christians that they do, and one of them was to be generous, to be mindful of the poor, to take care of the poor. And so that is something that is seen over and over. Some of the prophets would indict Israel for the fact that they had lost their connection with their poor brothers and sisters. So here Psalm 19 emphasizes that very thing, that God has this heart for the needy and provides hope for the afflicted. Or the hope of the afflicted will never perish. Psalm 33, 17 and 18. You know, we like to put confidence in the things that we can build. We create big armies and all of these weapons that are just unbelievable in many respects. But you know what? When God says that's it, it's not going to, the size of our army is not going to matter. The technology that we have is not going to matter. Nothing like that can stand up to our Creator. But in Psalm 33, 17 and 18, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. So you can see the time that they had. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord our God in another psalm, Psalm 22. But I got distracted. A horse's vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him and on those whose hope is in His unfailing love. What's your hope in? Do we have our hope on things here? Are we so connected to things that we have hope there, and then when it's gone, we're devastated. No, our hope is in God. And even if we do lose things, we are not defeated. In Psalm 31, verse 24, there is an exhortation. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. What was God's message to Joshua when he was taking the reins from Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land? What was his message? Be strong and what? Yeah. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Oh, by the way, be strong and courageous. Several times in that first chapter of Joshua, that's the instruction to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And that comes out in this psalm. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Yeah, this is a psalm of trust, and the idea that God never fails is put forth in that psalm. The psalmist is in anguish, though. And as you read this Psalm 31, you can hear the pain that is coming out. His enemies are causing him trouble, but he has this unwavering hope that he can hang on to, and so he can keep going. If you think about it, David had all sorts of enemies. Saul took him in as kind of a son for himself. But when David slew Goliath, what was the song of the people? Saul has killed his thousands. David his 10,000s. How's that make Saul feel? Saul starts becoming an adversary to David. And after David was anointed king, David still wasn't going to try to take the kingdom away from Saul. He was letting Saul be king because he was God's anointed. And yet here Saul is chasing David all over the country. You think David would ever look out and see this army coming at him and feel like, well, what's the use? And yet, even when David had opportunities to kill Saul, he would not strike him down because he was the Lord's anointed. It wasn't until God's time that David was going to take the throne. But he still had this hope and confidence in God that God would deliver him over and over and over. So I love this psalm and the encouragement that is given from that. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. And you can see appropriate responses for us. As we see some other psalms, Psalm 25, verse 5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Ask Desiree if there was a song in your database back there of My Life is in You, Lord, and it wasn't there. But I think you might have enough memory to, I don't know, I'm pretty demented, I may forget it myself. But if you can remember life, strength, hope. Life, strength, hope. You can sing this song. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. That's the little chorus. And it goes this way. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. And then it repeats. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. And it's got another little bridge thing that emphasizes the same thing. I will serve you with all of my life. I will serve you with all of my strength. All of my life, all of my strength, all of my hope is in you. And then it goes back to, my life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, it's in you. In you. Good little ditty. I hope that just kind of flows around in your brain and gives you hope and encouragement that our life is in God. Our strength is in God. Our hope is in God. Psalm 25:21 says, may integrity and uprightness protect me because. Did you get that? My integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope, my Lord, is in you. God, I can live and I can walk and I will walk in integrity because of that hope that I have that's in you. It's a wonderful thought. Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Sometimes we don't like to wait. We like things instantly. But even when things are going south, becomes a struggle for us, we still have a lot to keep us going because of the hope that we have in our Lord. Psalm 39, verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. We sometimes sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is. And it is. These songs do build us up, and I love singing these songs, and I love feeling the message of those songs. But those are what sustain me. My hope is in God. What about you? What can I know? What can you know? When we come to understand that, well, there is a God, and our confidence is in that very fact that there is a God. And the amazing thing about this God is He loves us. Why would He love me? Why would He love you? You run everybody out the back door. No. Why would He love me? Why would He love you? That's an amazing thing when we really understand that God that created the universe loves me. That He's pulling for us to succeed. That's amazing. That He provides everything we need to succeed and not fail. Ephesians starts off with that very kind of assurance that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Aren't you glad that we have this hope in this God that is this way? He's on our side. Jeremiah stated it this way, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Even when we struggle, we have hope because of whose we are, and we know where we're going. Isn't that neat? If we truly understand that, then we can navigate through any storm we face. Without that hope, we fall into despair. William Marion Runyon put to music lyrics by T.O. Chisholm. And I love that song. What is that number? Oh, you got it. You got it ready to go up here? Yeah. "Great is thy faithfulness." And I probably need a cheat sheet like Mark does. I'd like for us to sing this song before we move to invitation and close. Note particularly this third stanza. "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside." That's the God we serve, and that's what he provides for us. Aren't you glad? Let's sing. "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow or turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not. As has been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and star in their courses above, join with mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercy I see. And hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Oh, where's your hope? Where's your confidence? Let it be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it be in our God who has made all these great promises to us, that loves us and cares for us. May your confidence be in the Holy Spirit that is within us, that is God in us, that we may indeed walk through this life in power and strength, even when our bodies are weak and tired. If you don't have that confidence today, you can do something about that by responding to our Lord. And it may be that you need to just say, Lord, I've wandered from you, and I'm ready to come back. We'll sing this song for that reason, to give opportunity to come back to the Lord and let your request be made known, and get this body of God's people to pray with you. Let's stand and sing.